because of the ownership of those lands, it's either typically owned by the timber companies or owned by the government. And so you're not going to see new players come in there and start.
It's kind of like a monopoly, then, is what you're saying.
It is, somewhat, yeah. Right.
Isn't some of that just labor force, though?
Yeah. In fact, how this all started, and back and now to exactly when COVID hit, what happened, the mills laid off a bunch of people.
Right.
Okay, well, what they figured out was, we don't have to bring those people back, so they don't have a job. Because we don't have to, because they've always had a surplus of supplies. So when you ordered your lumber package, it came in and boom, reasonably priced and fast. Well, now they're pretty much cutting on demand. So, and they don't have those people, so they have fewer people, but the prices are so high, they're making more money than they did doing twice the amount of work. So, to be honest, if I was a mill owner, I would do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
As a consumer, building houses and selling houses, I hate it.
Oh, exactly.
You know, because it's just killing everybody right now.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and it's like the timber companies are getting a windfall off of a mistake they made. So the mistake they made was when COVID first started, they shut down their mills. They thought at that time that home building was going to cease, that people would not be redoing their homes. But instead, just the opposite happened. You saw people staying at home, spending more time at home. They wanted a nicer home. So they're either redoing a home or getting into a bigger home or a newer home or what have you. And so you saw a much greater demand, but the supply stopped. Hence, the price of lumber going up by four times. And if you look at the futures contracts out to July, you know, they're still at record levels. They may have fallen a little bit here in the last week, but for the most part, they're at record levels.
I still remember, I stayed in a little blue electrical box that I was messing up the house, you know, doing stuff, what they were doing in my new house. And so I just went to Lowe's and just grab a couple. They were out. You know what I'm talking, the little plastic blue electrical boxes? They were out. I mean, so during the whole time, because like you said, everybody was fixing up their house. You know, the nurseries did well. Of course, the freeze, the nurseries are going to do really well. But it's amazing what happened. And you said from their mistake, they're financially benefiting very well.
They're going to have a nice windfall. That's exactly right. You know, well, time will tell. You know, usually things work out over time. You know, you may see demand. No downside to you, really, necessarily, but you may see demand fall. You may see some creep in mortgage rates go up.
For sure.
And so if you have your mortgage rates go up, in essence, the payment goes up. If you're having to pass on cost increases into the price of the homes, that's going to increase the price. So net-net, those added cost pressures may drive some people out of the market. And with that, you may see a touch of softening. But it's hard to see that right now when everything is so red hot.
David, I have a little commercial going right now with Jeremy. So we only have 110 listings. We did that like 2 weeks ago. We have 90 listings now. 90.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Ellison Real Estate used to keep 90 listings. To give you an idea, I'm talking through MLS, not through my firm, but through the whole MLS, we have 90 listings, which is unheard of. You know, I just had a Zoom meeting. I don't know if y'all ever done a Zoom meeting that – I didn't know what that was till 2020.
Right.
Now I'm zoomed out. But across the nation, I mean, this isn't just here in Texas. Across the nation, shortage of inventory. Another problem we're having is the appraisal. Lack of appraisers.
Mm-hmm.
In
mm-hmm.
San Angelo, we have a lot of older appraisers that are fixing to retire. They get a good appraisal. But one thing they did come up with, folks, and what we've experienced a little bit of, not as much as I thought we would have, is lower appraisals. Because appraisals, conventionally, have always used past data to come up with the value of a house. Well, here's a good example. Have a house, have it listed for $280,000, got under contract for $285,000, and it doesn't appraise. Well, guess what? I don't care because I have five more offers for $285,000. So, what the appraisal, the head of the appraisals, you know, for NAR kind of guy was talking, he said, we're trying to come up with a formula or some number, way to do this to have the appraisers where they can use something where they don't have to use just past data. Because if I go, Mr. Lewis, here, by the way, I have five offers on your house, but it doesn't appraise. You're saying, how can five different people say it's worth this amount of money and the appraiser says it's not?
Right.
So it's hard for you to understand.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's for anybody else, too, also. So we're dealing with that. But I spent 2.5 hours to tell you all that two-minute little segment right there is how long it took. You know, when you're dealing with entities, it's like, wow.
Well, I'll tell you what, Scott, and you know, you talk primarily to the residential market, right?
Yes, in San Angelo.
But the commercial real estate market is being turned upside down as well.
Yeah, 100%.
With COVID. You know, big companies are having to reconfigure their office spaces. They're seeing people don't want to go back to the offices to work, or at least they only want to do it part-time. And so people are having to re-justify the square footage that they have. You know, do you keep the same amount you have? Do you have fewer people coming in, so you need
less footage?
Or do you need a larger footprint because you need more separation or just a different structure of the office space?
Well, COVID has changed our life forever. There's no doubt about it. I mean, even where one reason I've always, tell you all the truth, enjoyed being a national director is they would pay for me to go to Washington and New York and all these cool places. Well, I still had to go to the meetings, but on Zoom this last year, so it wasn't that cool at all. But it's what's going to happen is you're going to see a hybrid from now on. They'll say, okay, we're going to have a couple of meetings on Zoom, and then we may have some in person. But I don't think it'll ever go back to 100%. Like you said, the offices where everybody's at the office, where everybody's at the meetings, where everybody's doing the stuff, you're going to have a mixture. I do 100% believe for the rest of my life.
I think that's the case, especially for an office environment. But in businesses like yours and mine, it's all about the relationship.
100%.
And that relationship cannot be fully established and appreciated unless it's in person. And so there are many people in our businesses that are really wanting the in-person meetings to get back. And thank goodness they are here in Texas.
And I'm going to say maybe the younger generation, not so much as us, and maybe different states, but when you're from West Texas, which we both were born right here in San Angelo, I want to see the person I'm talking to. I want to look them in the eye and I want to shake their hand.
Exactly. Not a fist bump, not an elbow bump.
No. It's what you want to do. And I don't think I'm much that different than, you know, my fellow San Angelo ones.
No, not at all.
You know, but the different things. But I still like going to the bank and seeing my banker and, you know, I don't like doing the online stuff.
No.
One thing that's changed in the real estate world is DocuSign. You know, where you just send it and they sign it. The reason I don't like it as much, because there's some stuff in there I'd like to sit down and explain it and make sure that the people I represent are comfortable with everything.
Right.
And it takes that away from you.
So it does.
That I don't care for. But
no, there's that fiduciary standard you're having to think about.
Yes.
So that they fully understand you're representing them, but that can't really be discussed as well through a DocuSign document. But DocuSign is here. It's going to be with us.
As long as we have
the internet.
I'm going to go back to the generations. I had the hardest time. It was a relocation company, and I could tell it was a young man that I was talking to when I talked to him the one time. And I couldn't ever get him to call me back and take care of stuff. And Gil said, well, instead of doing that, why don't you just text him? Guess what? 2 minutes later, boom, text back. But he couldn't call me.
Right.
So, I mean,
right.
It's just different.
It is. It's a new way of doing business. But now I think that we're a more productive society. With the advancements were made, COVID's been a learning experience for us. It's been a very painful one for many people.
And yes.
I'm sorry about that. But we have become more efficient and have learned a lot.
Well, David, as usual, good. Jeremy, did you learn something?
I did.
I did too. So we learned something today, folks. I hope you all learned something. I hope you enjoyed it. If you ever need anything, and by the way, this show will be archived at sallison.com. So if you go, well, I didn't get what they were saying because Scott talks so fast, you can go back and listen to it again.
Well, hopefully you'll have me back again.
I will.
Next time I want to talk about the markets. Let's talk about stocks. Let's talk about some bonds. Let's talk about alternatives.
He's just trying to make money, guys, folks.
No.
Hey, y'all have a great time. We'll see you later.